Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Buffalo Water Cooler, better known as TW Media Sports. We have not been on in so long, and the emails kept coming, and for months I just resisted to come on the radio, only because two things. You guys know I have my scouting series. Things kind of happen. I kind of push it off and wait to football season. I appreciate all the fans who stayed in touch. I appreciate everyone who begged me to come on. We're back on now. We are going full go from here on out, just like when we first started. I'd like to thank all you guys for your support. I'd like to thank all the sponsors for their support. I'd like to thank everyone that's been helping me out. We are back, and we are going to be stronger and better than ever. We're going to have more shows off-site. We're going to have more shows in the public. We are ready to go, and I'd like to appreciate and just give my appreciation to everyone. But let's get to the thing right now. I'll mention my sponsors later. I'll mention everything else later, but I'm here in Buffalo, and the big talk now is the Buffalo Bills. Rex Ryan, Tyrod Taylor, E.J. Manuel third string, Matt Castle getting released and re-signed. There's a lot that's been going on, and I tell you what right now. I'm not a Bills fan, and I know fans are excited, but I'm at a wait-and-see approach. And I'm at a wait-and-see approach for two reasons. I've seen this for so long. There's more optimism. There's more hope. There's a lot more going on right now with the Buffalo Bills that makes more sense that we always see around the league from other teams, making big moves, pretty big expectations. The Bills always had false expectations, and for some reason, it feels a little bit different. It feels a little bit real. I mean, let's face it, we didn't expect them to beat the Colts, let alone the way they did, let alone see Leotis McKelvin possibly lose his spot to a rookie, let alone seeing Tyrod Taylor do what he did. But as you know me, I'm going to tell you right now, it's the first week of the season. I'm not going to get too excited, and I'm going to warn you fans also not to get too excited just because it's week one. We've seen the Bills have terrible quarterbacks with Trent Edwards. Recall the 4-0 start, and it went downhill. It's a little bit different. Even I must say, I'm a Rex Ryan guy. Even I must say that he has this team looking like a different football team with a different attitude. He has imprinted his personality on this team. And not only like years past where the Bills would have a good defense and the offense would sputter, at least in week one, they had both. They had both, which made me sit back and watch and say, wow, I've never seen it this way. But I'm going to step back a little bit and say it's week one. Can the Colts look better? Sure they could. I give the Bills a lot of credit, and you can't say it's a fluke, for what they did to Andrew Luck and the Colts. But at times you've seen the reflection of the old Bills when the Colts would get it going a little bit. The Bills didn't break. They tightened up. And I think the biggest difference was, for this year, at least in this one game, their offense was a threat. And they threw the ball. Everyone got touches. Everyone got touches. Tyrod did a good job. He did a very good job, and you can't say anything right now about his performance. I'll just say use caution. Kaepernick did it. RG3 did it. I am not a fan of a running quarterback, but I will say this. I can't call him a running quarterback. He reminds me of a very young, very inexperienced, first time in the bright lights. I'm going to say it now. This may be crazy. I'm not going to compare him to Russell Wilson, but he runs when he has to, and he tries to make plays. When he's running, he's looking downfield. He's not just scrambling. He's looking downfield, looking for a play. That's what Russell Wilson does. And I was going to give you more insight of the game. G Money was at the game. He's still out after the game. You know how it is, tailgating before and after the Bills game. Everyone's so excited with the Bills, the new atmosphere, the big win against the Colts. Bills fans are going to be celebrating for a long time. But I was able to catch Slapshot Rob. Now, he doesn't have a voice. He was screaming at the game. But Slapshot was there, and it's going to give us an insight on how it was at the stadium. I heard it was very loud. I heard it was very exciting. There was an electricity that the Bills fans haven't felt in a while. We're going to bring on right now Slapshot Rob, sports commentator here at the Buffalo Water Cooler, part of Trenton White Sports. Slapshot, haven't said that name in a long time, but I know your voice is kind of gone, but to the best of your ability, hey, welcome back, and let us know what you've seen out there by the Bills.
Hey, how you doing, Trent?
Hey, doing all right, and the voice is shot. I take it you were so excited you lost your voice, huh?
Yeah, but that's pretty normal for me when I'm at a game. But it's still all part of the experience, I think. If you get too caught up in it, and before you know it, then you've shouted something out and you don't have much of a voice left.
Yeah, I hear you.
But it was unbelievable. I mean, I've been to games back in the 90s when they were making their Super Bowl runs, and it can be a loud, crazy place when the fans are excited and they give you something to be excited about. And it was nice for a change to watch a game where a coach didn't make decisions that took the fans out of the game.
So for years,
you had these game plans and these conservative approaches where the coaches almost felt like they took the fans out of the game. But there were several instances in that where the old Bills would have folded and given up. Or the best example I can think of was in the third quarter where they had a touchdown taken off the board because of a holding penalty. And they marched right back in and scored it just a few plays later. Because you saw those holding penalties before, that would take points off the board. And before you knew it, either they were backed out and having a punt or backed out and having to kick a field goal. But that was a key moment in the game. They put it away, and pretty much it from there on out. I mean, yes, they gave up some points, but they gave them nothing easy. And at that point, it felt like something different. And, yeah, it is really too early to tell. They have three tough games those first 3 weeks, this one, then New England, then at Miami, and probably have a good idea by the end of the month what type of team it really is.
But as far as a Bills fan, I will say this. Me not being a Bills fan, watched the Bills for so many years, I will say this. Before, like I said already, I'm going to repeat myself, when the Bills were coming out, most of the time the defense had to keep them in games because the offense was so inept, couldn't score. But this time it's different. I've seen the Bills respond. They never were used to responding on offense, but they're responding now, and they're responding with weapons. I think that can give anyone in the NFL trouble. Yes, it's early, but weapons are weapons, and the way they were used today, many different people touched the football. Many different people touched the football. Now, it's kind of impressive to me after seeing the Bills struggle so much on offense. And I tell you, I mean, look, if you look at McCoy, I mean, and don't forget this. I mean, I don't know if I could think of a team that has so many weapons. I think Bills fans need to understand this. On paper, the Bills have so many weapons. There is not an excuse for this team not to be able to put up points. And that defense is looking pretty good. Yes, it's early, but I don't think the defense is going anywhere. But I will tell you this. When you look at the defense, you've seen some bright lights starting to shine. And I'm telling you what, if I'm Leos McKelvin, I get back in the field and prove that that's my job. Even though it's one game, that rookie was playing hard, and I think he looked pretty good.
Yeah, and you could tell not only did he look good, that we were noticing in the crowd that he was getting targeted. You could tell that they, like, Luck knew where he was, and they moved him around back and forth both sides. Especially Gilmore seemed to be on Hilton until Hilton left in the fourth quarter. But you could see that Luck was trying to test him to see if it was something that he was going to break. And I might be wrong on this one. I can't remember him taking a pass interference penalty. I can't remember him taking a holding penalty. I can't remember him getting burned on a, no one got burned on a long play. And it looked really strong. You're right. If McKelvin comes back right now, I'd have a hard time starting him over a Darby. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's that deep. And you've got to look at that. This was a defense that shut down the Colts with arguably the best defensive player on the sidelines with Darius being suspended. It's only going to get better next week when you bring him back because I don't think they lost that. Like, I don't want to say it this way. The defensive line was not nearly as scary as it usually was, and they still were playing well.
Yeah. You know, the Colts being looked at right now as a team to go to the Super Bowl, and yes, it's early. You don't know what's going to happen. It's a long season. But I think the Bills won a very important AFC game today, and I think the Bills kind of turned some heads. I'm going to ask you a question there. Now, when you look at this team, the kind of team that's getting a makeover, this team, I mean, 15 years, no playoffs, this team had to get something different. And not being rude or anything, but with the passing of Ralph Wilson and getting a new owner with a lot of energy who fans believe in, who wants to turn things around, do you got to say this is a different football team in a sense of how it's ran? I mean, bringing in Rex Ryan, I don't think Wilson makes that move to Rex Ryan, but Pegula brings him in. Rex Ryan is on this team now, and I think his attitude is something the Bills needed, because I tell you what, I think the whole team, if you look at it from years past, this team has a little bit of an attitude, and he said, look, I'm going to make you the best defense in the NFL. Not just the defense, I think he's going to have a good football team, Aaron. This may be the guy they needed. We always said, Slapshot, in the years past on this show, they need a coach with some fire. They need a coach with some attitude. Right now, I think this is a Rex Ryan-type team.
It's the perfect matchup, it feels like, with him. And you're right. I don't think Ralph Wilson ever would have, because he never would overpay for coaches. It was one of those areas that it always seemed like he never wanted to put the money into. And what's even more funny is, like, in recent years, just in the offseason moves they've made so far, they never would have signed Clay to that kind of offer sheet. You never would have seen the money thrown at Darius, the money thrown at Hughes, just to make sure they're locked up here and staying. So they're keeping their guys. They're not running them out of town. And it's a different attitude. It's a different attitude with the fans, because you don't have that specter of the team leaving over your head. You believe that, and you know that next year the team's still going to be here. It's a relief and a belief also that things are going to get, I don't want to say because things are going to get better, but things won't stay the same. Maybe they could finish up and go 9-7 and finish 9-7 the rest of the way in the season and miss the playoffs again. It would be disappointing after the way it started, but in the same stretch, you don't feel like that would be a step back. They've never been consistent. They haven't had two winning seasons in a row since 1999 and 2000. Like the 1999 playoff run, I think, is the last time they had two winning seasons in a row. They've only had two winning seasons in the last 15 years. And it's just, it was exciting. Everyone was into it. And I really, the problem is I can't wrap my head around the Colts being an actual contender. And I haven't been able to ever since last season. I think they're an illusion because of the division they play in.
Yeah.
But it's, you want to see what they're going to do the next 2 weeks when I think they're playing better teams in their division that are meaningful games. I mean, they're all meaningful. But that could end up being huge, because you somehow get a home playoff game in that stadium, and those fans are amped up like they were today. They caused confusion. There was a couple times you watched, and there the guard for the Colts was wandering around. Like, he had no idea where he was supposed to go, and they cost him a timeout because he couldn't hear. There was another time, I've never seen it before, where Luck lined them up, pulled them all back into the huddle, and then lined up again. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah. You know, Slapshot, I got to ask you, for those listening around the country, guys who call in for mostly NFL talk, we're back for the first time in months, just getting the show back going, so feel free to go ahead and listen and just, give us a call. I will take calls today. I may not, depending on how the show goes, but Slapshot, I'm asking a question right now about E.J. Manuel. If you're going to go ahead and just hook your saddle to Tyrod, why is he still here?
It's a cap maneuver. His contract costs more if you cut him than if you keep him on the team. He costs you more in dead cap space if you cut him right now than he would if he sits inactive every week. I'm almost
okay, but
that's
if you're
100%
he's a young guy. He did have promise only a year ago. I mean, let's be honest. He had some decent moments. It wasn't all bad for him. He had some decent moments, and things just went downhill. listen, this is a contrast of how the NFL used to be and how it is now. I came to a conclusion, I said this a lot of times, and we talked about it before. I had Stu Boyer on, and I told him, look, what happened to the days of letting a rookie quarterback come in and sit for 2 or 3 years and let him learn? Stu Boyer said, well, that's the way the NFL is now. They draft a guy, they want him in right away. Here's a prime example of why you shouldn't do that. Tyrod sat behind Joe Flacco for years and learned and learned and learned. And now this may be his time. He's more prepared to me than EJ ever was. Because why? Because he sat and watched the quarterback in front of him. He finally got his chance. EJ comes in right away, and struggles. He had some moments, but he struggled overall. You can look at Kaepernick. Look, we don't know what the end story is on him, but look, this guy came in right. Well, he came in, started. You have RG3. There's a number of guys. You had Johnny Manziel kind of coming in, going out, coming in, but he sat for a while, got his life together, got more serious about football. Do you think the days of getting a first-round pick who's not Andrew Luck, I mean, guys who are like a step or two below him, and seeing guys sit because Tyrod Taylor, let me tell you something, he looks better than EJ. You can say it's his first game, but he's been schooled by Flacco in that system and watching a guy, learning from a guy who won the Super Bowl, who's been to the big games, compared to EJ, who came fresh out of college, first-round pick, boom, he's in. It shouldn't have happened that way, but I believe that's got to happen again if you want a successful quarterback. If you're going to invest in a guy, at least school him first before throwing him to the wolves. And I think Tyrod Taylor and EJ, perfect contrast to what I've been saying the whole time.
Well, but you know pretty clearly he wasn't going to be starting coming out that first year. If Cobb doesn't get kicked in the head in Washington, he probably is that starting quarterback that season.
Right.
I mean, he sits for the entire season. I mean, last year he sits for the season. So, I mean, he still had that full year of, I mean, I don't know how great an example of Orton is for him, but I don't think he's done in this league.
No.
But the problem is it has nothing to – it's more of the win-now mentality because you've had the Andrew Luck. You had that 1 year where Joe Flacco and I want to say Matt Ryan was the same year. They both made the playoffs their first year. And the problem is the coach can't afford to wait that long because your coaches are on those three-year cycles after the second year. If you're not making the playoffs in the third year, you're getting fired. So they're under just as much pressure to get these guys out there now too. And you notice the places where you mentioned it was successful in Baltimore. Because they brought him in and they had a successful system. They had a coach that was entrenched there who had won a couple Super Bowls who isn't going to go anywhere. You go to somewhere like Buffalo where you had Doug Marrone who has needed to prove himself. His plan for the starting quarterback got hurt and you threw him to the wolves. I don't know if you're having a higher percentage fail. I mean, you may be having a higher first-round percentage fail, but it's probably the same level of ineptitude you're getting from a rookie quarterback who just isn't ready for the speed of the league.
Yeah.
Is EJ ever going to be a starting quarterback in this league? I don't know. And again, I don't know. He just has too many times where he just throws so inaccurate. And I don't know if that's something that can even come with time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just think it's a mess. You know, I feel bad when I see any first-round pick get in this situation. You know, if he would have played well last year, I don't know if we're even in this, you know, having this conversation. But I think Tyrod might be the guy. And I'm going to hold back a little bit and just wait and see. But I'm leaning more to he might be the guy, being as though he sat and waited and got his shot. And, look, he earned it. You can't say it was given to him. He earned it. I mean, you had Matt Castle there who led the Patriots to – I think an 11-win season when Tom Brady was out with a knee injury. I mean, he's a decent quarterback. He can't run. I mean, he can't move in the pocket. That's fine, but he has experience. I mean, he's a starting quarterback in the league for a number of years, and now you have Tyrod coming in. I think this is a Rex Ryan move, too, because I still don't think he starts if you have the old regime here. If you still have the old regime here, I don't think he's even here starting right now. But Look, I think the team's going to be fine. It's the first week. I've seen a lot more in the first week than I've ever seen in the Bills in a very long time. Both sides of the ball are dangerous. The defense was not there too long getting exhausted. The offense hit hard. They responded. They were a threat all day. I did see some things, though, that the Colts did to them that we're going to have to watch, because when they play the Patriots, a lot of the short passing games that, you know, the Colts did, the Patriots do very well. They don't go downfield a lot, but when they do, it's set up very well by a very meticulous, pounding, grinding offense. And this is going to probably show us what the Bills really are on defense, because let's be honest, I can't stand the Patriots, but they do good what they do good. And we'll see what kind of team we have. Let me ask you a question about RG3 before I let you go. He's regularly the third string now. And, you know, I hammered him over the years and said I don't believe in running quarterbacks. I'm going to catch up to him. Injuries came into play. He's knocked down the third string. What the heck is going on in D.C.? And is it just a coaching move who doesn't like him, or is it a GM deal? And if they don't like him, get rid of him. Find a way to trade him, because I think he can still do something in the league. I don't know how effective he's going to be, but, you know, I don't think it's a good fit for him there anymore. I think they made it very clear to put him to third string now. What do you think happens there?
Well, he was pretty much Shanahan's guy. That was pretty clear from the start. But you have a disconnect between the coach and the owner there, where the owner at least publicly still comes and supports him, but you have a coach who's clearly done with him. In the modern NFL, with the way contracts are structured, sometimes these player trades become really hard, and he is an astronomical cap hit. So it makes him really hard to move under that current contract. Now, is he done in the league? Probably not. Is he ever going to be the star that the first season at least made him look like he was going to be? Absolutely not. But he had some disservice done to him as well. He played on some injuries that he probably shouldn't have played on, which probably shortened his career. He had a falling out with the coach there. The coach that got along with him is gone. He feels more like he would need a fresh start as well. Kind of like how Taylor was never going to start in Baltimore.
Right.
He probably has the speed and the skill and the arm to start, and it's showing that he may have that here, at least through 1 week. I can't see Jay Gruden ever letting him start again, unless an injury happens to his top two guys now. He doesn't believe in him anymore, and I don't think he wants to be there anymore. So we'll just have to see what happens. But someone will give him a chance. He was too good in college and too good his rookie year not for someone to turn around and offer him a job. Now, here's the thing. You've already got some injuries this year. You had Carr leave the game in the Raiders. I could see the Raiders offering him something now, especially if Carr's going to have any injury length time. Manziel turned into a turnover machine once McCown went out. So there's a lot of teams out there that are definitely going to come looking for him. They talk about it being a quarterback league. I don't believe it's as far as some commentators would like you to believe it's a quarterback league. But some team's going to give him a shot, and he'll probably have some success again, but it won't be in Washington.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I kind of feel bad for him. You know, I said a lot of things about him, and, you know, I don't feel bad. I stay firm with what I said about his style of play, but what's going on there, I mean, it's really bad. I don't think fans understand how bad it really is. You have a high-profile guy that actually brung your franchise pretty much back to life, and he was a superstar. He got excitement there, and things just fell apart, and now you regulate him to third string. Look, Cousins didn't look great today. I mean, he looked okay, but, I mean, do you really want him as your starting quarterback? I think they're in a mess. I think they need to put their heads together and say, look, let's give RG3 one more shot, and then we could justify if we move him. Here's why, Slapshot. Look, they don't have any other better options. How much worse can he do than Cousins? Fans aren't coming to see Kirk Cousins. They're not. They're coming to see RG3, and if he has one good game, two good games, three good games, the fans and the organization will probably, you know, have to settle to back him and just see what he does. But I think before you do anything to him, put him the third string, to me, is a complete slap in the face. I thought not having him start was a smack in the face, but now getting moved to third string, that tells me you're not wanted anymore. The problem is, when do they move him? Did they move him this week, next week? When? Because, look, if I'm him, I want to get on the field. I want to get on the field, and I think right now the D.C. fans are split on what to do with RG3, and I think you're right. Look, he has to go somewhere else, but what's the cost, and when do you make the move? Look, if I'm Cleveland, you're right, Cleveland, I'm like, hey, guess what? We need to get a guy. We need to bring some excitement. Let's bring this guy in because Cleveland needs somebody. It's not going to be Manziel. I mean, they have a mess of quarterbacks there. I mean, you can look at a few different teams. Oakland Raiders, I think Oakland, first of all, just like you said, will be the first team to literally go out, and they make moves like this, you know. I think they need it. I mean, they just got hammered today. There is some excitement in Oakland about today's game. They got hammered. They're going to be awful. I mean, you have Cooper there. I can see them bringing RG3 in, but if you're the Redskins, what do you possibly want for him? You don't want him, but what value does he really have in the league now?
Well, you're not going to recoup what you gave up for him. That's first and foremost. I mean, because I don't believe anyone is worth what they gave up to draft him. That's probably a lot to do with it. I mean, they gave up pretty much an entire draft class. So they, at this point, you know, at this point, I don't think it would take that much to get him out of it. I don't think they would need to make an offer too insane for Washington to just be ready to move on. So what would it take? I think it would take maybe a mid. Think anyone's going to offer it. Even with all I said, I don't think anyone's actually going to offer it. You're probably going to see him float around there in third string. Cousins, they'll get frustrated with Cousins because I don't think
horrible.
Cousins any better than Castle. That's essentially, I think that's the feeling you get with Cousins. If you wanted to try to bring someone, and a lot of it's going to see how bad some of these injuries go, but you could see someone make a move for him, but I think if you're going to see a move made for him, it's probably going to be done after the season. It's not. I don't think it's going to be made during the season.
Yeah, you know, just getting to some emails here. Thanks, fans, for emailing me in right now. I do appreciate it. We're going to cut the show short. It's not going to be as long as normal. It's the first show back, just kind of filming it out, getting slapshot back in the groove here. But, you know, a few more minutes here on the NFL. I mean, I'm looking around the league, and I see Seattle was in a dogfight. The Rams look good. You know, I don't know what to make of this first week. I don't know who to even pick. They have these predictions of Super Bowl. I don't know who has that, you know, knowledge to do that. I don't think the Broncos are going to be there. I'm telling you, Slapchuck, I can't tell you two teams right now that I can see meeting in the Super Bowl. I think, to me, honestly, by week one, I can't make a decision. But as I look at the teams, I think it's wide open. I mean, am I crazy for saying that? I don't think there's one super dominant team out there. I think the Patriots are going to have trouble this year. As good as they looked, I think they'll have trouble. I don't think you can keep winning like that. Tom Brady, as great as he is, he's getting older. Bringing in players that are somewhat subpar players to run that system. Look, every time we say it's not going to happen, it does happen. They find themselves in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl. But I think this year is kind of a transition year. If the Bills keep this up, they're contending now. I mean, they're really contending. And, you know, when you look around and you look at the Cowboys and Giants that are playing now, Slapshot, I can't tell you a team right now that I could definitely say is going back to the Super Bowl. I mean, do you have a prediction, and can you even think about who could hit that point in the Super Bowl from week one?
You really can't. And but what the biggest thing is you've got to look at is week one is probably when the teams are still the closest. If you want a great example of that, the 49ers last year, week one, went into Dallas and just absolutely slapped around the Cowboys. And at the end of the season, who was the team that was in the playoffs? I mean, they went down there and put up 41 points on them, I think won by over 30 points in that game. And it's just, is Tennessee as good as the 41 points they put up today on Tampa Bay? Probably not. Is Cincinnati as good as the amount of points they put up on Oakland? Probably not. St. Louis, St. Louis traditionally plays their division really strong. So even Seattle going into St. Louis, I believe, had lost two of their last three in that stadium. That's not a great example of the team. The Packers lost two of their first three last year and went to the title game. The Patriots, we wrote off after losing that Monday night in Kansas City. There's no way to know what you're going to have until probably 4 or 5 weeks into the season.
What do you see from the Bills? I mean, the more I think about it, I'm watching the stats here, and I'm looking around. I don't think we could say this year, at least from the Bills, from what I see, the attitude and just the players they have, I just think you can't really say that, you know, I don't think you can go through the schedule and just point out for sure 100% games we lose. I mean, let's be honest. This Colts team isn't bad. They're not as great as everyone said they are, but they're not as bad as they look today, I don't think. I think you'll see them recover. I think you'll see them going a little winning streak here. They're not a bad football team. I mean, they had some signs today against the Bills. I just think the crowd, the Bills, it was just too much for them. I mean, the Bills played good football, not great. They played good football, and I think it was too much for them. But I think the Colts are better than what we've seen today, and I think the Colts will probably come back from this and be fine. It's week one, but I'm telling you, Slapshot, I have a feeling in the emails I'm getting, fans are really excited, more excited than I've seen them in years. I just hope it lasts, but I think with Rex Ryan here, I don't know. I got to go with the coach, Slapshot, and say, look, I think Rex Ryan is not going to let this team go on some slide like we're used to seeing him do or just look horrible. Were there stupid penalties? Yes. He'll take care of that, but not as many as we've seen in the past. My biggest concern with the Bills is injuries. We've seen this before, Slapshot, and then injuries just start racking up about week 6 or week 8. It's been happening for years. So if the Bills stay healthy, I think they got a shot. Let me ask you a question. Where was Watkins today? I mean, he was very quiet. I thought he'd be a focal point. I think that's great that he wasn't because a lot of other guys stepped up.
Well, I think the Colts made a point of trying to take him out of the game. There were two targets I can clearly remember. One was they took a shot on a fade route to him to the end zone where Tyrett put it where it was either going to Watkins or out of bounds, and it was an inch away from being a really good pass. And then there was another one on the sidelines where he just kind of got out, muscled, and knocked out of bounds. I think he was just not in the game plan, to be honest with you. And I also think the Colts made them use other people. Now, the players that impressed me was Clay and Tyrod overall, because Tyrod didn't make the mistakes, and Charles Clay is looking like the tight end that was worth the big contract he got.
But I'm not sure,
he'll get his touches. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, he'll get his touches. And you know what? That's one other thing to look, to look forward to for the Bills, because him not being in the game at all, and the Bills put up some super numbers with him not even being a real target. He didn't do anything bad, and I think that it's good that, you know, the Bills didn't have to use him primarily in this game. So, I don't know, we'll wait till the second game of the season. I'm sure Slapshot is probably going to be at all home games, aren't you?
About half.
The Slapshot, coming from a real Bills fan who's at the game. Good to have you back on, man. We're going to have you back on probably Monday. If you're free, we're going to have a roundtable about the Bills. Then we're going to get into your sport, hockey. Before I let you go, give me 2 minutes on what you think about your Sabres and the rest of the teams in the NHL that made moves that kind of have you excited.
The Sabres are the team that has me the most excited for the week, to be honest with you. And it's very similar to the Bills. They brought in new coaches. They brought in potential superstars. The rebuild is finally over. The 2 years of misery that brought on this community is finally done. Maybe you can question morality of tanking for a good player. At this point, I don't care because it's done. But they're the teams that have me the most interested. Are they going to be competing with the upper teams in the conference, like the Tampa Bays and even still to a lesser point, the Rangers still? Or Montreal? Probably not. But are they going to be in a dogfight for those last few playoff spots? Yeah. Do I think they're going to make it this year? Probably not. They still have some growth to do. But they're going to be an entertaining team to watch because there is substantial new parts to this team that I have really legitimate reasons to be excited about. And quite frankly, I can't wait to see that. And it's kind of nice to be excited about not only the Bills, but about hockey again.
Well, you know, I know how you are about hockey, and I know how you and Slaps, you and G Money get into the debate about hockey. But before I let you go, I got to ask you this. You know, this is football Sunday, but I got to ask you, did the Sabres get the player that you wanted, or are you happy with taking the guy if you couldn't get the big guy?
No, they got the player I wanted. They got both the players I wanted. They got the player
I wanted in the draft
and the one they traded for.
All right. And we're going to see this season in the coming years who got the better of that deal. But good to have you back on, Slapshot. We'll have you back on. We'll have you, I think G Money's working on something with you to do hockey, you and him to do hockey. Hope you guys had that show going and rocking and rolling. I'm going to promote the heck out of it. And we'll have you back on, Slapshot. Good to have you back.
All right. Good talking to you again.
Slapshot Rob, for years, have been with the Buffalo Water Cooler here, talking sports. This guy knows football, hockey. He goes to every game. He travels and watches the Bandits play. He's a real Buffalo sports guy, if you want to say that. My opinions, you know, it's not going to take me a long time to start saying things that people don't like, but I'm going to say this right now. Bills fans, I'm kind of glad you're happy. Sitting here in Buffalo, since I've been here, I see nothing but losing. I see nothing but false optimism. I see nothing but just crap of a football team. You got a good team now, at least in week one. All the pieces are there. The coach is there. You have new ownership. There's a new feel about the Buffalo Bills. And just maybe, with that new feel, you belong in the stratosphere with all the big market teams. You could be that small market team with the big rich owner now that could look Jerry Jones eye to eye. You no longer have to look up at these guys. If you play your cards right, if the Bills play their cards right, you guys will no longer be the laughable Bills or the bickering Bills or whatever you guys call yourselves or the losing Bills. You guys look pretty good in week one. Showed a lot of gump, showed a lot of stuff that I didn't see from you guys in a very long time. Like Slapshot said, it's early, so we're going to see. I had my reservations about Tyrod, and I still do, but when I seen him make a few plays with his feet, he looked downfield first before he took off. It just wasn't a running deal. I like that. So I think you guys have a lot to look forward to when it comes to this Bills team this season. Really quick here. I'm going to talk about Floyd Mayweather really quick here. You guys know I had him and his family on my show. He's retired now. Yes, he picked an easy fight. A lot of us didn't like his opponent, but he picked a fight. Listen, he's not retired. I would be shocked if he's retired, because for any boxing fan, you know, Cotto and Alvarez is fighting next. The winner of that fight is going to fight Mayweather. Listen, he already is the other boxer to retire undefeated with Rocky Marciano. He officially retired. He's going to come back. So guess what? He's still going to be in the record books as the only retired champ before he comes back. And he's going to fight for one last payday, a very tough opponent. Either one of those two. He beat them both already. But this is a little bit different. He's a few years older, and they're better boxers now. And I would love to see that. I would love to see that. And hopefully I can get the champ, Amir Abdullah, on, who's closer to Mayweather's, who spent years and even right now is in Vegas with the Mayweather's, to come on and try to give me the inside scoop, or I could talk to his uncle, possibly his father, to find out what's going on here. Because as far as I'm concerned, Floyd Mayweather's retired, but I'm not buying it for 1 minute when you got a mega fight on the horizon. One more chance for him. One more chance for him to clean up this crap that he had with Pacquiao. Stay tuned for that one. High school football in West New York. Supposed to have Coach Steve McDuffie on from Bennett. I'm sure he's busy, but he's supposed to be on tonight. Going to talk about football, get the top high school talent around the country again. It's my first show back in months. I'm slowly getting into the groove now because I'm starting to run my mouth more and saying things that maybe I shouldn't be saying. I'm not going to do it yet, but I will say this. As I look around West New York and watch football games in high school, I will say this. Coaches, not all, you know who I'm talking to. look, forget the paycheck. Forget the $3,000. Forget the extra $5,000. Do me a favor and at least learn how to coach. I respect you for being a teacher. I respect you for all you do in the classroom. Like I said before, just because you can teach me about World War II doesn't mean you can teach me how to run the read option or how to run a defense. Some guys could do it, not all. I'm not going to point out schools or names, but I'm sick of seeing bad football in this country. Especially West New York. Bad football. Bad coaches. Bad decisions. Bad situational football. Look, you have at least, out of 50 players, you'll have at least 15 to 20 who will continue playing football. Those other guys will be doctors, lawyers, or just productive members of society and will treasure the time they had playing. You're raising young men. They aren't your Madden toys like you're on Xbox 360 or Xbox One. They're not your Madden guys where you can think of random plays and run stuff you'd run in the playground back when you were a kid. I see a lot of coaches overthinking football. If you're winning 28-0, don't try an onside kick. For what? There's no reason to. The kids know it's a ridiculous call, but they do it because they're good kids and they're listening to their coach. But there's some good coaches out there who are teachers. And you know what I'm talking about. The teams who win a lot. The teams who win. Those teachers are good coaches. They've been doing it for a very long time. As our scouting service girls, hey, things are happening. I've seen a lot of good football players out there this weekend. Seen a few that I had to talk to and see where their head's at. I'm amazed sometimes when I talk to these kids and they tell me no one's helping them get to college. Half of them haven't even thought about it because half of them weren't taught the system. But then I got to step back and say, you know what? These coaches, most don't know how it works. So I don't blame the kid for not knowing anything about college, for not knowing anything about the grades he has to get, for not knowing anything. It's a very simple process. Play good in the field, do good in the classroom. Schools will look at you. There's over 114 colleges out there. Count D3, there's more. That could take a kid in football. But yet every week for the past weeks and years with my kids in it, just seeing awful football. Awful football. And I can't stand it. Prime example, let's say this. Lancaster, of all teams to travel to Ohio and face a top team, Lancaster goes. And they get hammered 77 to something, 6 or 12. 77. I'm not from here, but I'm a part of this community, and I'm a part of what helps these kids get to school. And I tell you what, right now, the embarrassment of sending a team like that to another state to represent this area that is one of the lowest recruited areas in the country, and you pick one of the big schools, not a medium grade school, a big school, and you get hammered. Thank you for nailing another coffin that I got to pull out that you just put back in. I've been trying to pull the nails out this West New York coffin for scouting for so long, and you just put it two more back in there. What a bad experience for kids. Don't come back here and say it was a good experience. You got your tail handed to you and sit back in the bus. Getting beat 77-6 or 12, whatever it was, is not a good experience. Your kids got manhandled, and it doesn't prove anything. It proves that they almost scored 100 points on you. I get you want to give the kids an experience of real football. I think you shouldn't do that. I think you shouldn't do it. The one team that does it is Canisius, and they hold their own. They hold their own. They're Catholic school. They have abilities that most public schools don't have. I don't think no public school should travel like that yet. Not yet. But we're trying hard. Quick email. Welcome back. Appreciate that, John. I'm back. Look, I'm back. I've been gone for a while. It took a lot to come back because I didn't want to even come back yet, but it's football season. So I miss talking. I miss the fans. I miss the calls coming in. You know what? I'm not going to take any calls. A few calls came in that I didn't even answer. You guys know how I roll with that. When I start talking and I start getting into it, And for those who've been listening for years know why I don't take calls. I can't really screen the calls that come in. I see your number, I see what your name is, but I can't screen them. And most of the times I have guys who have nothing else better to do in their life but sit and listen to me and want to be a jokester and say something stupid. Won't be taking calls today, period. Oakland Raider fan wants to know what I think about the Raiders. I'll tell you what I think. I'm going to continue the conversation about what I was talking about. Raiders are awful, okay? RG3, I think Slapshot had a great point. The Redskins don't want this guy. RG3 might be coming to the Oakland, to the Raiders. Can't even say your name because you're irrelevant. I felt the Bills are bad, but you guys are so bad. You want to know how I feel about the Oakland Raiders? You know what I'll tell you. They're really bad. And I feel bad for the Oakland Raiders fans because I feel they're some of the most passionate fans in the NFL. They're hardcore. They're the real deal. They are the real deal. And yet, that ownership in Oakland, you thought the Bills were bad? Yeah, they're bad. But they're looking good. At least they're trying to do something. Here, you have Oakland, who, my goodness, Oakland is just horrible. Trying to get Steve McDuffie, been in high school, back in here. Looking to call in, talk some high school sports. His team, big powerhouse right now. I mean, when I say a powerhouse, they're a powerhouse. But I want to ask Coach McDuffie about what I think, you know, what he thinks about what I'm thinking, about him getting some criticism by going to class, I think it's class D, and just manhandling every team so far. They haven't been challenged. I don't think it's their fault. I don't think it's a situation to, blame the coach or the kids. That's what happens in a school district. They have a certain amount of kids. Just so happened a powerhouse like Bennett, who could play in AA, fell to D. They have Isaiah McDuffie, who's going to Syracuse. They got a stacked team, and some people are crying foul, saying they shouldn't be there. But we'll see. Bennett has a tough game against Orchard Park coming up. Now, this game in Orchard Park, to me, is going to prove a lot, which I think Bennett goes in there and beats the tail out of Orchard Park. I just don't see how Orchard Park stands a chance. I don't see how Orchard Park has the athletes. When they beat Ken West stopped the run. They just were hurt in the corners. 28-0, all passes. You're the head coach of Orchard Park. It's a win, but you couldn't run. You're going to have a whole heap of trouble with Bennett. I watched a lot of football games. I'm telling you right now, Bennett will give you problems on the offensive side and the defensive side, period. But then again, I know Coach Dean Tundra at Orchard Park. He's a very crafty coach, been doing it for almost 30 years. He's going to have a game plan. I'm telling you right now, that game is going to be decided at the line of scrimmage, which I think Bennett has the advantage in the beginning. As the game winds down, you wonder how Bennett's going to respond if Orchard Park's hanging around. They weren't challenged yet this year. They weren't really challenged. They kind of had, to me, game scrimmages. What are they going to do against Orchard Park? Good coaching staff, winning tradition. Bennett's kind of a new kid on the block. City of Buffalo team who's looking real good. Who I predict is going to win states in Class D. Who I predict may not lose a game this season. The one game I'm looking at is Orchard Park. It's going to tell us all we need to know about Bennett and Coach McDuffie's team. But guess what? I think it's going to be a good game. They moved the game to Saturday now at 1. It was a Friday night game. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a very good game, and I'm curious to see how Bennett, not Orchard Park, how Bennett responds under the lights, playing a team like Orchard Park. That is three classes above them, who has a winning tradition. Look, Orchard Park's a good team. I don't think they're unbeatable at all. I think it's going to be a good game, and I love to hear what Coach McDuffie had to say about this because I want to see his approach to this game. I mean, look, Steve McDuffie's a great coach. Going up against Gene Tundra, Orchard Park, very, very, very good coach. Know him personally. I talk to him all the time when I get a chance. Very good coach. Very good coach. They don't have the big line like they used to have, but they're still a good team. But I just don't see how they beat the athletic ability of Bennett. Every position, I think almost every position, I give Bennett the edge. just because of the athleticism. They got to have the edge. To me, Ultra Park won't admit it. Some of the players are going to be intimidated. But like I say, you know, this is going to be a very good game, and I think Coach McDuffie, if he can get in, I think he's busy right now, but if he can get in, I'd love to talk to him about it. Got another email about the Bills. Yes, you're right. The Bills do look different. These are the same old Bills. Look, I'll give you that, but I'll tell you this. It's week one. Week one, to me, is a dress rehearsal. Getting hit real for the first time. Don't give me preseason crap. This is the real deal. First week of the real deal. Bills look good. I can say nothing bad about the Bills. As much as I want to say a lot of bad stuff about Tyrod Taylor, I can't. Because he looked that good. He looked that good. And, you know, look, let's get something straight, guys. This is the NFL. Other teams are going to score on you. Other teams are going to make plays. These guys are making money, too. They work out, too. They want to win, too. Not many teams are going to go in there and shut out everybody. And, yes, I meant what I said. The Colts are better than what they look today, but I give all the credit to the Bills for making them look that way. Are they going to win the Super Bowl? Colts ain't going to be there. Like Slapshot said, I have no idea, not none, who predicted the Colts being the Super Bowl. I just don't know how that's going to happen. But at the same time, you never know, because there's no dominant force in the NFL right now that I could point to and say they're going. They're going. Can't do it. Cannot do it at all. Cannot do it at all. Boy, I tell you, emails flowing in. Appreciate it, guys. Love the support. First show back, I'm a little rusty, but I'm telling you, the more and more I get in here, looks pretty good. Quick email on the Bills again. Bills getting a lot of love here, but I could tell this guy was at the game. Email didn't come in too great. It looks like he's kind of, you know, had a few cold ones and tried to type me something. I get it. The Bills are for real. Bills are the Super Bowl. You know, you got Bills fans crying, Bills are the Super Bowl already. Gotta love that. Bills fans excited. It's good to see. Good to see the Bills excited for once. Just for once. I mean, look, Bills, gotta give it to them. I've seen, look, 15 years no playoffs. The Bills fans can say whatever they want right now. If they believe in their team, let them believe in their team. Look, 15 years no playoffs. For everyone who's listening, your team hasn't gone that long. Well, Jacksonville's going to beat that record eventually because they're just god-awful. And when they get close, I'll start talking about them. But the Bills look good. Bills look real good. I'm trying to just read these emails and talk at the same time, I tell you. Look, as far as Jacksonville, I feel sorry for that team for many reasons. Not only because they have to tarp off half their stadium because no one goes. Not only because they're just a bad football team. Not only because the owners are awful. Not only because of a number of things. I just feel bad for the organization because the people who are diehard Jacksonville Jaguar fans are very loyal to that team, even if it is 20,000 people and the rest of the seats are tarped off. My dream this year is that Jacksonville goes on a run, a two-game run, or something, five games. Okay, let's say five games. And they don't got to hide seats no more. Listen, guys, that's an NFL team. Your team in Dallas, the people who called before, the Dallas guys, Cleveland guys, you don't got to deal with that. Yet I feel bad for Jacksonville. They used to be good. They used to be respectable. Now they're just god-awful, and I wonder why. If they ever needed extra help from the NFL, they need it. Because if you're not going to fill the stadium and draw that much interest, move that team. And no, I'm not a big fan of California. Send a team to L.A. Listen, we don't want an NFL team in Sacramento. I heard all the talks. Listen, you tried 10,000 times to put a team in San Fran. You know why it doesn't, well, not in San Fran, in L.A. You know why it doesn't work in California? Because they have things to do. Let me tell you why it doesn't work in L.A. Why? You got movie stars and surfer dudes and tofu people. They don't want to be sitting at a football game. There's stuff to do. Why is the Bills stadium filled with 70-plus thousand people in rain and cold? Let's be honest. Buffalo's coming back, but it ain't back yet. And they love their team. You'll never get a team out in L.A. that people are going to love that much. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So I don't want to see any more things on TV. And all these meetings are showing us of important people to bring a team to L.A. I think it's a waste. I think it's terrible, a real terrible idea. Send us somewhere where it's going to be successful. I don't know. Like, what, Oklahoma? I think Oklahoma would be a nice place. People thought the NBA wouldn't work there. Remember that? The Thunder are doing fine in Oklahoma. They're doing fine in Oklahoma. But don't send a team to L.A. You know, when I took time off the show, I was getting responses back and emails from putting a team in L.A. I'm totally against that. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. They tried way too many times for this. Yes, it's a big TV market. Stop making it about money and make it about substance. The Bills are a smart market team, even with a billionaire owner. But they can at least fill the stadium. They pull their end. Jacksonville got to cover seats. I don't know if you guys understand that. They have to cover seats. Imagine you're the owner of a team, and you got to cover seats. Large sections of your stadium, you got to tarp over because no one's coming. It's crazy. That's why I feel bad for Jacksonville. I'm pulling for Jacksonville this year. You know what? Forget my Eagles. Well, not forget my Eagles. I'm always going to be an Eagles fan. That's my home. But I'm telling you right now, I'm a Jacksonville fan only because I'm going to take the back of those 20,000 fans that show up to every home game, the 20,000 fans that show up and tailgate, knowing their team's going to lose, but they still tailgate. They have every excuse to get drunk. I'm not going to even criticize them for that. They have every excuse to miss work the next day because they're so hammered, because they're tired of seeing the same crap, and drinking a few cold ones in the parking lot, stuffing yourself with ribs and hamburgers, is the most exciting thing you're going to do for the rest of that day. Watching the game is when you sleep and stagger out and say, we'll do it again next week. But in saying that, one of my staff members, G Money, isn't here today because he's doing that right now. But his team won. He's excited. G Money could barely text me. He's excited, and you know what? He deserves it. He's a hardcore Buffalo Bills fan. And he went out there today, tailgated. I knew he was shot. And I knew he wasn't coming on today. And he's probably still shot. And if he called in now, he won't come on because he's shot. But G Money's all right. He's excited. I'm going to let the Bills fans, you know, I know you guys are going to call a lot more Monday. I'm probably not going to take calls Monday. Just because I know you guys are so excited. My question is, where's Coach McDuffie? Waiting on Coach McDuffie to come in, but I'm on a roll right now. I'm on a roll. Email's getting me going. Jacksonville. Look, I'm not trying to make Jacksonville a laughingstock. I'm really serious. I don't like seeing a team suffer that much. And, look, the Bills haven't made the playoffs in 15 years. You're excited. I totally get it. But at least you're not covering seats. Quick deal on Floyd Mayweather. Got a caller sitting here. Going to just call her in a few minutes. Floyd Mayweather, look, the guy doesn't suck. Your email said he sucks. Look, he doesn't suck. I just think his style of boxing is what a lot of us want to see. If you're a champ, we want to see, yes, you are a very skilled boxer, probably the best pure boxer, one of the best pure boxers we've ever seen, but we don't want to see it run and hold. I kind of get that. I understand. We don't want you throwing $100 bills at the TV saying how rich you are. I get it. He rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but you got to give him respect. He's a good fighter. He's a good fighter. I was one of the dummies. He sucked me in. I was one of the dummies who paid $100 to watch the Pacquiao fight and wanted my money back. Yes, I was one of the guys. $100 to watch this fight. We got Coach McDuffie finally coming in here. Let me hit back to the Floyd Mayweather stuff later, guys, for all the emails. We're going to bring in Coach McDuffie, Bennett High School in Buffalo, New York. Head coach, got a good team this year, high expectations. Coach McDuffie, thanks for coming back on. How's it going?
How you doing today? How's it?
Doing
thanks
all right.
For
you know, just kind of getting in the flow right now, answering emails and kind of getting back in my rhythm of, you know, just running my mouth and hitting the points people don't want to hit. But as far as you go, I've been watching you guys this year, seeing some film. You're taking criticism, but you're taking also a lot of heat, I think, from people I talk to, and I got your back on it. I think a lot of people don't believe in your team. I believe in this football team, and I think you're going to do very well against Orchard Park. Your son just got just committed to Syracuse. You got a very good football team. You got players who are hungry. I think you guys are looking good, Coach, but tell me how the team's looking and your thoughts on this team so far this year.
Well, you know what? The guys have really been working hard ever since, you know, ever since last year when we kind of stumbled at the stadium. And, you know, we have 27 guys returning out of the 35 from last year. And, you know, those guys have really been doing everything they're supposed to do in the classroom and on the football field. And, you know, they were really, really hungry to play, you know, against a great school like Orchard Park. So, you know, that's why I took up this task, and we put Orchard Park on our schedule.
Well, Coach, you know, I think, you know, you're saying kind words, but I'm going to be a little more firm on my belief. I think Orchard Park should be glad to play you because most of the time I think teams like yours don't get the respect. You're a city team. You guys shouldn't be as good as you are. People didn't expect the Buffalo teams to really jump off like you guys did. You guys dropped the class, and I think that was probably the best thing for you. It sounds weird. I think it was the best thing for you because certain teams now are going to take you lightly because they're going to say, oh, you know, you're playing a class lower. You shouldn't be there. I personally think you guys can go in double A and do fine. But so what? You're in Class D. Football's football. You got to play the teams that are on your schedule. But for those people who are fighting me saying you don't have a chance at Orchard Park, respond to that because I think that is the biggest bunch of crap I heard this high school football season so far. How you guys don't stand a chance, and people behind your back probably want to say, you know, you don't. But I talked to enough of these high school guys. It's going to be a good game. I think Orchard Park's too much for them. You know, they're very disciplined. I take offense to that because I know your team's disciplined. You're a good coach. Your guys are going to do fine. And people are looking back at that Chickawaga game and thinking, we don't think mentally or in the heart they could beat Orchard Park. How do you respond to those questions that you're probably not hearing, but I'm telling you right now, I'm hearing it.
Well, let me just say this, you know, first of all. It wasn't my move, and I'm not responsible for Bennett High School moving down to Class C. Believe me when I tell you, this team was built to beat Maine at will. The reason why we're down in Class C is because Bennett doesn't have a freshman and a sophomore class, and they're basically phasing Bennett High School out and phasing in Middle College. And next year, I believe that we'll be back up to an A school because, you know, Bennett and Middle College are united have, it'll be one school. So, you know, that was no fault of my own. But what I can honestly tell you is that we were a very young team last year, and I thought that we overachieved. And, you know, to lose a game like we lost last year at the tail end of the season, you know, it really left a bad taste, not only in my mouth, but only in my kids' mouth, also in my kids' mouth. And let me tell you, these kids, they have worked their tails off. And for all the people who do not believe that we have a chance, I clearly believe that we have a chance, and it'll be a great fight. And it'll be one of those slugfests. And we really understand that to be the best, you have to beat the best. And that's why we took on that challenge.
You know, and, you know, I'll be honest. My son's team didn't want to play you guys. There's a reason for that. You know, look, you're a good football team. And I think for any coach to turn down a chance to play Bennett High School or any other team in Buffalo where, to me, most of the talent does lie, you know, shame on them. You know, Coach Gene stepped up to the plate. He's a good coach. He wants to face this challenge. My main concern is this. Look, I talked to a lot of coaches, but I'm going to tell you this. And I don't care who hears me on this, Orchard Park fans, whatever. I had coaching on this show. I have a lot of different coaches on the show around Western New York. I'm going to tell you right now, I hope the refs let the game be played by the kids, because there's a magical thing that happens when you go to Jamestown, Orchard Park, and a few other teams to where you're not just playing the team, you're playing the refs. And I tell you right now, Coach, I think in your situation, your kids have to be mentally ready to maybe get that bad call, maybe get that fifth or sixth bad call, and still be focused on the task at hand. How do you get your kids ready for that?
You know, absolutely. And I would tend to agree with you most definitely on that, is that, you know, I really, really hope that when we get out there to play also, that the officials won't have a true impact on the game, and they'll let the kids decide the fate of the game. It hasn't seemed like it's been that way a whole lot in the years of the past, especially, you know, when you have, I would hate to come to a conclusion that, you know, people would take something out on kids because they feel that they're from an urban setting, or, you know, that should never be part of it. But I understand what you're saying, and I'm in agreement. And, you know, we have seen, you know, a number of bad calls at crunch time where flag come out. And you know what? The game sometimes seems it's not called both ways. But what I'll tell my kids is, you know what? You play football and you let Coach McDuffie worry about the officials. You know, that's been our motto the whole time, you know. But I would also hope that we can have people who, you know, regulate the Section 6, and, you know, some people like the commissioner, you know, and that they would hear our cries, because, you know, this is happening way too often.
Yeah. You know, Coach, we've seen you at the Ken West Orchard Park game, and, you know, Ken West lost that game in the air. They improved their corners, but they got beat in the air, but Orchard Park couldn't really run on them. Did you take some away from that game there?
Well, you know, the good thing is about my team this year is that, believe it or not, we have, you know, 4 to 5 kids who run 4 or 5 or better. You know, we have one kid who run a 4.42. So, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to pretty much, you know, try to play them and throw some different looks at them, you know, and throw some zone, throw some man. And, you know, not to say anything or sound cocky, but, you know, I have very great confidence in my kids. And I believe that they can play with anybody, and, you know, so do they. And, you know, like I said, we understand to be the best, you have to beat the best. So we're looking, you know, forward to going against Orchard Park. And, you know, I feel it's going to be a hell of a ball game. You have us ranked number one small schools in West New York, and Orchard Park ranked number two in large schools in Western New York. But like I said from the beginning, this team was built to take Maine at will on, and, you know, I like our chances.
Yeah, it should be a very interesting matchup. And like I said, I hope the kids do win the game, and the game's not influenced by the refs. But I will say this, your son Isaiah McDuffie accepted an offer to play at Syracuse. He accepted early, and now he has a big target on his back. As a father coaching your son, and everyone knows, you know, that he's Isaiah McDuffie now. You heard the chance from Orchard Park saying, we want McDuffie. As a parent, you know, you want to, you know, see them play good football, but as a kid now who's going to a big-time school, do you kind of see the difference, and do you tell him to kind of watch out for himself on the field? You know, guys want to make a name by taking him out, but he's a hard player, so I don't think it's going to happen. But have you seen a change in him since he committed to Syracuse?
Well, let me just say this. The way I prepare my son and the rest of my team is that we believe our performance is built into our preparation for the game. So, you know, as long as he continues to go out and, you know, work hard in practice, and, you know, continue to lift the weights and do every push-up and every sit-up and every pull-up, you know, I think that he'll be fine. We just believe, you know, at Bennett High School, if you fail –
to prepare, then you're preparing to fail. So, you know, we don't think about those types of things. As long as he continue to work hard and we continue to prepare, it's all about the preparation. But you know what? By far, what people have to realize is that Bennett is not a one-man show. You know, we have Anthony Mantheiser. You know, he's thrown already for five touchdowns, and he has already thrown, you know, for over 450 yards in two games. So, you know, and then we have, you know, Marcellus Tolliver, and Marcellus Tolliver is a 6 foot, and he's 220, and he's a running back also. And, you know, we have Brandon Brown. You know, he's 6 foot, you know, he's 185, he's a 4'4 kid, and, you know, he plays wide receiver. And we have Derek Bishop, and, you know, he's about 5'9", but about 170 pounds, and, you know, he's a 4'5 kid. So, you know, I think, you know, if people want to just, you know, say, hey, Isaiah McDuffie is the only kid at Bennett, and if they, you know, think it's a one-man show, you know what? Basically, they're playing into our hands, and that's what we want them to think, because, you know, we have a plethora of talent at Bennett High School, and that's the big thing. Trust me when I tell you we're not a one-man show. And then, you know, our offensive line is very big. We have Kalik Newsom at 6'7", 305, and then we have Xavier Norwood. He's 6'3", 330. He plays the offensive guard. And then we have Monty Brown at the other offensive guard, who's 6'2.5", 255. And then we have an offensive tackle, you know, Darnell Sanders, who's 6 foot, 290. And then we have a center that's 5'11", 280. So, you know, it's not a one-man show at Bennett High School, but, you know, if everybody's going to gear up to stop Isaiah and they're going to put everybody in the box, well, you know what? That's what we want them to do.
Hey, Coach, quick question on the Buffalo schools entering Section 6. I think a lot of people are surprised how quick the progress has been for Buffalo to now compete and take on and beat some of the traditionally strong suburban schools in the area. I'm not surprised. I thought they were never given the chance, but now I think, you know, this is one of the only places where I've seen most of the powerhouse teams are in the suburbs. You know, if you go around the country, most of the powerhouse teams come from the city. I think that's starting to happen. Now, to go with that, you know, with my scouting service, I run into a lot less trouble than I did when I first started of helping kids who, let's say, weren't getting that support to have the grades, not having the knowledge of what it took to get in the NCAAs, not having the knowledge on what it took to have what, you know, what class you take. Is there more of an emphasis now on the kids in the city of Buffalo now that they're getting more college attention and they're getting a chance to play these schools and look at maybe some kids who really don't deserve it but only deserve it because they're in a certain school district or they have a certain economic or economic standing? Are these kids prepared now for the battle in the classroom and taking the tests that are required to play in the NCAA? And has there been a big move for teachers and also the athletic director Aubrey Lorie to actually get the kids prepared?
Well, you know, I can really only speak, you know, what's going on in my program, and I can tell, you know, I've had very much or a lot of people have been very, very supportive with Bennett football program. But, you know, we go with the emphasis not only with the football coaches and the community and the school. We try to bring everybody together, and, you know, we go with the belief that, you know, the village thing type of thing to raise, you know, to raise a kid. And the bottom line is these kids have to be exposed. And what we do at Bennett High School is we expose them to the way things are when they're very young. We'll go through a couple formats where, you know, not only will we educate the children, but we'll educate the parents on what the kid need to be able to go to that next level? What is the expectations? What does the kid have to do to accomplish that? And so far we've really turned the corner with it because I put four kids into they all went to junior colleges last year, and they went to big junior colleges like Hudson Valley. So it's just getting the kids to know the information and explaining to the kids that you're not only an athlete, but you're a student athlete. And we have a saying at Bennett High School, no grind, no shine. And what we're talking about is you have to grind in every aspect of your life, all right? The classroom, the weight room, be a good person in school and the community. And, it'll happen for you. But, I just truly believe that, it's a village type thing. No one person can really impact the kid. You need the teachers on board, and we have that support at Bennett High School. You also need the administration on point, and I'm the first one to tell you, we get unbelievable support with the administrators at Olmsted High School and Bennett High School. Bert Stevenson is just wonderful, and he's great with the kids. And, and so is the principal at Olmsted, Dr. Hoover. He's great, too. And let me tell you, and that's what you really need, because if the administration is on board, then the teachers are on board. And, the parents will always be on board. But what it is getting them all to work together for the benefit of the child.
Good stuff, Coach. And, Coach, good luck this Saturday. By the way, before I let you go, Coach, the game was Friday night. Any idea why that was moved to Saturday?
Well, that was a surprise to me also. Matter of fact, I can honestly say that the game was changed without my knowledge. I was very surprised about it. All I know is that it was scheduled to be played Friday night, and right before the schedule was finalized, I get an email saying that the game is moved to Saturday. No reason and why, no clarification why it was moved. But you know what? Once again, Bennett High School will show up, and we'll show up, and we'll be ready to play.
All right, Coach McDuffie, Bennett High School in Buffalo, New York. Looking forward to the big game against Orchard Park that's surprisingly been moved now to Saturday from Friday. Hopefully this isn't just it's starting early, but good luck, Coach. Good to have you on. We'll have you on again after the game.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. God bless.
All right, no problem. Coach McDuffie, Bennett High School, big matchup against Orchard Park. And, for those who aren't in West New York or in other states, kind of wondering what I meant by, how it is, look, I'll just come out and tell you how it is in Buffalo, West New York. I'm not going to say it's about the whole area, but there's very, coming from Southern PA, Philadelphia, there's a very big difference between the city and suburban teams. First came here in Buffalo, the city team had their own league. They weren't allowed to play with the suburban teams in Section 6. And look, my kids are in the suburbs, and they play for Kenmore West. And we noticed that, right away that, the kids before my kids started playing high school weren't playing the city teams. And I always wondered why. Buffalo was introduced a few years ago to Section 6. Had a rough first year, but now the talent's coming through, and it's not refereed the same. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why it's not refereed the same. Now you have a prestigious school, Orchard Park, who has a winning tradition. I don't think they're that good. They beat Kent West 28-0 all through the air, couldn't run, didn't do anything spectacular, but I will say this. I'm not saying Kent West would have run the game, but when Kent West drove down and started driving on him multiple times, the magical flag seemed to drop out of his pocket. And I just don't see Bennett High School getting a fair shake in this game. I think this team's going to have to dig deep. I think a lot of eyes are going to be on this game to where the rest just might have to call it even. We hope they do. But I'm predicting they're going to do something. And you see it around West New York and the Section 6 commissioners. I'll call them out on it. A lot of these high school guys who cover high school football won't do it because they're in the bed with them or they're just scared One thing that makes me successful, and I, you know, you don't want to hear Trent is saying something about you. You don't want to hear Trent's coming to your office because, hey, a lot of people don't know. I do a lot of things that make people dislike me, but I do it for the kids, and I do it for equality. And I'm going to have close eyes on this game. I'm going to have a guy of mine at the game to see how this is called. And I'm telling you right now, if Bennett gets cheated in blatant ways to favor this team, I can't say what's going to happen. What I'm going to say, you know, is this. I'll say it in a nice way. There's going to be an uproar, not just for Bennett, an uproar when we play these teams who have influential kids on the field, whose parents play for the Bills or whose parents run whatever. Because what happens in the long run is you can't do that in college. You could help a kid win and give him the good, you know, give him the good calls in high school. In college, doesn't happen that way. You're hurting the kid by doing that. I just hope Bennett gets a fair shake. Look, if Ultra Park beats him, good. I like Ultra Park. I don't like the rest and how things are officiated. And it's a close secret that many people in the suburbs don't appreciate playing the city teams, which I find is completely ridiculous. And I'm going to say this before I go. For all you parents who want to stay in your bubble in the suburbs and want to keep your kids being good against mostly kids of their own kind, let me tell you something right now. If you look in college and the NFL, it's mostly African-Americans. So if you're a Caucasian player with a kid you think is good, guess what? You better have him play those guys in high school. One, it'll make him better. Two, you'll see how good he really is, and vice versa. Football's a multi-race game. It's just not white. It's just not black. Now you got Latinos getting into the game. And so referees, we need more referees of color also. Too many 70-year-old white guys on the field dictating, and you know, and I always said this for a long time, I'll give you credit because you grew up in a time where things weren't as somewhat supposed to be equal and you're stuck in your ways. I get that. There's no ref. Too many guys of an older age who have connections to that team, when they play a city team, the flags fly more so than another team. And everyone knows it, but it's a hush-hush secret. No one steps up, and I'll say this again. No one wants to talk about it. None of the high school sports guys on Time Warner want to talk about it. Dick Gallagher, nice guy. He's a legend. He won't talk about it. WGR, that joke of a show they have, that struggling radio station that somehow people know of, they're scared to talk about it. But I'm not, and I will continue talking about it. Because it's like this, open challenge. If you disagree with what I say, open challenge, prove me wrong. I've seen it enough. And before you say the race card, let's make it very clear you know this. My kids are half Italian, so it's not even the race card. When I see something wrong, I'm going to point it out. If it was the other way around, I'd be saying the same thing. And for those who've been listening to me long enough, know that I don't like seeing anyone get screwed. Because if I do, and if you keep doing it, I do the screwing. And I did a lot of screwing last year to Section 6, Tim Slade, and a lot of people. They don't like me because I'm a thorn. I expose them. This year, if I see any of it, and if I see it's blatant, it's going to be a lot worse. Because now I have a little more influence than what I did last year. I have grown. And I put a lot of effort and a lot of work to right wrongs. I don't play that no more. I don't care who I offend. You offend me when you cheat kids. So when you cheat kids, I'll be the champion of doing what's right. Because all you old school guys should retire or don't do what you do anymore because you do nothing but keep this community divided. You keep it divided. Don't favor the rich kids over the poor kids. If the poor kids are kicking their butts, let it be. Just call the game. I think a lot of people don't understand that if Bennett gets beat, I have no problem with it. It's football. I like the coach at Orchard Park. I'm not even putting this on him. I'm putting it on the rest. Don't dictate. Your games were over. When you played in the 50s, that's long gone. Don't try to dictate and live through these kids on the field because you feel one team deserves it because of their economic standing or where they live. And I hope everyone knows a lot of eyes are going to be on this game. If Bennett is manhandling Orchard Park, manhandling them, and if they're kicking their butts to the ground, and if Bennett's driving on them, physically beating them, and racking up a ton of yards, and then you try to give Orchard Park an edge, letting them do cheap shots, stopping Bennett's drive, if they do that, and you want to call flags, let the flag count be so lopsided. Let it be lopsided. Because when it is, and if it does happen, Gallagher and them ain't going to say nothing about it. They won't. So what I'm calling for this year, because I'm more influential now getting kids to school, and I see a lot, and I talk to enough coaches, college coaches, to where I tell them what I tell them. But here's the deal. What's the date today? What's the date? The 13th of September, 2015. This is going on my show. This will be recorded for all to hear 20 years from now. If I see any more discrepancies between certain teams, I will lay a pile of you-know-what like you've never seen before, because I'm sick of it. And I'm sick of all the old-school guys. You see it in politics. My boy Trump is winning. Why? Because the political insiders are full of it. You got that going on here in Buffalo. I'm not Trump. I've been fighting this fight for years, but I had it this year. This year, heads are going to fall. If I got to point you out, if I got to do whatever, if I got to bring an outside media, if I got to do something to make it look bad and expose what Buffalo really is and West New York really is in sports, it'll be done. It's going to be done. I'll do it. What do I care? Gallagher and them won't do it. I'll do it. Time Warner won't do it. I'll do it. Buffalo News won't do it. I'll do it. And this ain't for Bennett. This is just for overall. I seen it 2 weeks ago. It's 2015. Football's a multiracial sport, mostly when you get to college in the NFL. In high school, those ugly ways still could rear its ugly head. And it does nothing but hurt the kids. I'm not going to go any further than that. Sorry for the emails. A lot of them came in commenting on this subject. I will catch you tomorrow. G-Money is going to be back tomorrow, hopefully. We're going to talk some Bills, NFL, Monday Night Football, Dallas and the Giants 3-3 game right now. I won't be talking about that much. I don't like either team. I don't think either team is going to do anything. But we're going to talk a lot. We're going to start getting some special guests on. Hakeem Olajuwon might be on the deck. Floyd Mayweather, hopefully, his father at least, will be on deck this week. We have a lot of guys coming in. We have a lot of guys coming in, so we are going to be back. We're full force now. We're going to be doing all right this year. We're going to be doing all right. A lot more shows on site of locations. I'm talking to Renner Center right now. They invited us to come. We're writing out the details for that. We're going to have a lot of things going on right now, and I'm excited. But, boy, I'm more excited about this Bennett game against Orchard Park and other games in West New York because I'm waiting to pounce. Once again, I'd like to thank my sponsors, Coca-Cola, Snyder's Pretzels of Pennsylvania, and a few others, Paulo's Donuts. Thank you for making this show possible. We're back. We are back, and we're stronger than ever. And, boy, I'm not holding back any punches no more because now things got to happen. Before it was warning signs, now it's time for action. We'll see you guys later. If you missed the show, like me on Facebook, Trenton White Sports. If you didn't hear the show, want to pass the show on to a friend, go right ahead. Feel free. Like our page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter on TW Media 44. See you tomorrow. Bye.